Remember that the universe is your oyster and you are equipped with the world's best pearls, diving gear, which is your mind and your attitude. So dive deep, manifest your dreams, and then don't forget to laugh at the moments where things don't work out, like it's not a big deal. The universe is not going to surprise you with success when you spend 90% of the time expecting failure. So what if I told you that you can't just have one without the other? That is where the failure and success paradox is all about, okay? Hi, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Almost Adulting, the largest self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health and dating advice. I am your big sister and your host and everything in between, Violetta Benson. So this month, I'm going to be giving you solo episodes that are going to cover everything around the sun and in between when it comes to life. And it's going to cover the science, the psychology, and the spirituality, right? So it can benefit anyone that's interested in the various parts of those specific topics. So today we are going to start with the psychology, the science, and the spirituality, aka the law of attraction behind success. So by the end of this episode, your mind should feel fairly clear on your next steps to succeed in life, in your relationships, and so on. And you should mostly have a new perspective on where you currently are or where you're currently feeling stuck in your life, okay? So let's get started. Let's talk about success, right? What does success mean to you? So again, today I am going to be giving you, in the description of today's episode, timestamps. So look at those timestamps because it's going to basically show you everything that I'm touching on. So you can skim through and then go straight to the area that you're most interested in, or you can listen to the whole episode. But again, we're going to be covering the science, the psychology, and the spirituality of success with a call to action, all three, on what you need to then do to move forward. I'm going to start with covering the paradox of success and failure and why that's important to know. Then I'm going to dive into the science of failure and explain the quantum physics of timelines and the importance of the future deciding the past. Super cool. And then we are going to be moving into the research and psychology behind success and then the tools that you need along with the call of action. And then I'm going to finish it all with spirituality aspect of law of attraction and call to action there as well. Okay, sound good? I'm really excited, but if you guys can please do me a favor right now to make sure to download and save today's episode so you can always kind of go back to it whenever you're feeling stuck in a rut or don't know what to do with your life or you need to re-listen to it so you never lose this episode ever again. Okay, let's firstly dive into the idea of failure and success paradox. This is a very interesting concept, and I think it's going to open up your mind. Once you understand that concept, it helps you understand success better. To make it in more Violetta Benson terms, think of this in a sense of you are on a roller coaster ride called life. And on one side, you have success. And it's the thrill of victory, the sweet taste of achievement. But then on the flip side, you have failure. It's gut-wrenching lows, the feeling of wanting to give up, the self-sabotaging, the crushing disappointments. But here's the kicker. In this crazy paradox, success and failure are actually not enemies. They're frenemies, okay? They go hand in hand like peanut butter and jelly, yin and yang, Netflix and fucking. I don't know how else to make it as American as possible. Because you see, success without failure is like cake without frosting. It's bland, it's gross. It's like chicken without seasoning. It's boring. It's missing that extra oomph. Failure is a secret sauce that adds flavor to your success story. It's that plot twist that makes the movie of your life worth watching. But here's where it gets juicy. The real paradox kicks in when you realize that failure is not the opposite of success. It's a crucial ingredient in the recipe of success. It's the stepping stone, the learning curve. It's that wake-up call that propels you towards greatness. You must try things to figure out what you are best in. So basically, based on my research, I was looking around and I found this interesting book. So this book called The Failure Paradox, How Failure is Fundamental to Success. In that book, it explains how our brains are wired to avoid failure. Like, it's that guy at the bar who just bought you a drink and now he wants to hang out with you and you're trying to avoid him like the plague, understandably so. But then we do the same thing with failure. Unfortunately, this negativity bias keeps us safe. And although it keeps us safe, how we believe it's keeping us safe, it's also incredibly boring and unadventurous and keeps us stuck. Imagine if a fear of falling kept babies from learning to walk. They would just kind of scoot on their butts forever, right? Wouldn't they? But no. Those little daredevils, they keep getting up no matter how many times they fall over and hit things because they haven't learned to fear failure yet. So leadership and innovation are where this paradox really struts its stuff. So think about it. On one side, you have success strutting around, making everything look shiny and easy. Success is like that one friend that posts like the perfect Instagram life moments. They never show the behind the scene mess, okay? Then there's failure, the not so glam sidekick. They whisper the tales of caution, how you should always be careful, and about they stand in the shadows when it comes to growth or trying something new. But without embracing the possibility of failure, leaders and innovators and successful people can't really shake things up or make waves or kind of know what they're good at. It's like trying to make an omelet without breaking the eggs. In the grand theater of innovation, failure is not just a guest star, it's a lead role. This is where the real magic happens. When you toss this old script of your idea of what you think success equals, that success is good and failure is bad, and instead you treat them both as a critical review of your performance, it will help you then learn to tweak and to figure out where you're good, what you're good at and how to excel in life. Companies that do this don't just survive, they thrive. They spin failure into this golden thread of an opportunity. So think of it as a productive mistake making, okay? Where every flop that you make is just a rehearsal for the standing ovation. So before I dive into actually explaining the paradox and the things that go into it and the psychology and how to change your mindset, so I want to first quickly bring up for anyone out there who has recently failed or feels lost or you are currently in self-sabotaging momentum. Number one, you need to listen to last week's episode. It's about the psychology behind self-sabotage and how to stop it. And number two, here's something that's baked into the science that's super interesting and encouraging when it comes to our past actions and failure, including in the current present, is that basically, this science has been showing that there's back science behind this, confirming that the future actually decides the present for us, which means we can change our lives at any moment. Welcome to the world of quantum physics, where the future has a backseat driving license and the past is just trying to follow the GPS directions. So imagine, if you will, a universe where time, what you currently know is time, doesn't just march forward like this well-disciplined soldier. Instead, it's more like this drunk friend that's wandering home from a bar, taking unexpected detours, doubling back, and maybe even ending up in the future before deciding to crash on the past couch. I know, it's sounding confusing. I was trying to make it more simpler and I feel like I made it more confusing. This is quantum realm, okay? Where particles don't just exist in one state or place until they are observed. They're in a superposition, embodying the quantum version of having your cake and eating it too. So when scientists say that the future decides the past in quantum physics, it's like saying that you decided yesterday to wear your favorite socks today because today you notice how fabulous they make your feet look and how fabulous they make you feel. Mind-bending, right? Right. But then again, maybe it's just me, but who doesn't love a good time travel paradox before breakfast? I know I do. Okay, so let's put on our sci-fi caps and translate this more maybe in Violetta speaking terms. Imagine sending a text to your crush and then you travel back in time to craft that perfect, witty response to spark the initial message. It's like flirting, but with a quantum twist. Am I making more sense? Like where your sparking personality in the future makes sure that you were always irresistibly charming in the past. So quantum physics suggests that particles can be entangled across time. There are numerous philosophers who suggest that there's no such thing as time, and I'll get into that in a second. So when they say there's like entangled across time, it makes the universe in some ways the ultimate matchmaker, playing Cupid moments instead of arrows. So like next time you're late to a meeting, just remember that maybe in the quantum world, you already apologized and your future self is just ensuring that you had a really good reason for it. Quantum physics turning fashionably late into a scientifically valid lifestyle choice since the dawn of time. Okay, in layman terms, the quantum physics behind this is the idea that the future can predict or change the past in quantum physics relates to the concept of retro casualty. What is retro casualty? Retro casualty suggests that the events or states in the future can influence or determine the events in the past. It challenges the traditional linear progression of time where causes precede their effects. And then it challenges our reality and our relationship between the past, the present, and the future. Because our current reality is based on time. But some philosophers, they argue that there's no real concept of time. The philosophers include Immanuel Kant and Henri Bergson, who have spoken numerous times about this phenomenon. And they have deeply explored the nature of time. They questioning the fundamental reality. Kant, for example, he argues that the time and space are not objective features of the world, but they're instead they're forms of our perception and what we're able to see, structuring our experiences. Bergson, on the other hand, they believe in time being fluid. And basically, they believe in the duration of time. They're basically, both of them basically suggesting the time might be more about our human perspective than a fixed feature of the universe. So in theories where time is not viewed as straight, unchanging line from the past to the future, it then brings you an idea of different timelines. It becomes more conceivable. So if time is more flexible or subjective, as some philosophers suggest, then you would start to believe that it's not too far-fetched to also think about reality where multiple timelines or paths can exist. So these alternate timelines could represent different ways or events that might unfold depending on choices made or influences from potential future states. Again, what the fuck am I trying to say, right? It means that the current you is potentially existing right now in multiple timelines. And that every decision you're currently making in your life, down to your socks that you're putting on in the morning, or down to you being 5 minutes late or leaving your house early, all of that creates a new timeline every single time, which means that not only is there supposedly another version of you out there that tried that thing you wouldn't try, that finally left that shitty job and so on, that they're currently now living a better version of you. They're living their best life, your best life. They're living the most successful life that you've ever dreamed of. Like that version of you currently exists. That is why when they say, when we experience deja vu, or even when we dream more like realistic dreams, that is actually a glimpse into your life in another timeline. So there's a reason you're dreaming that, because it already happened, which means that there's also a super cracked out version of you out there somewhere that's having an even shittier time, even shittier life choices that they've made, and it's out there wishing it was currently in your present current life situation. Why am I sharing all of this? Aside from me being incredibly fascinated with this, because knowing that there are these potential timelines of us out there that exist with every different decision that we're making, that there is this potential. There's a version of you out there that has already achieved the things that you think you can't. in that sense, I think it should give you some hope that that life is actually possible and that your future can change your current present, right? Not to mention, it's your future who's currently calculating 100,000 decisions in a split second and coming to a conclusion quickly of what you should do in your present. Like, again, whether you should make a right or a left on your walk, whether you should quit your job that you're sick of. So next time you are making decisions, maybe trust yourself because your future self has already sat through and calculated all of the possible outcomes in every single timeline in order to tell you that the current decision you're making is the best one because it's already lived all those other storylines, right? Before choosing for you that this is the best one that's in front of you. How cool is that? Look, I feel like anyone can find like t-shirts and we all have loads of them, but to find that one perfect, like perfect fit t-shirt that you wear all the time can be challenging. I feel like I've always had problems with this, whether it's like the fit, the quality, like I wash it one time and it's dead or it stretches out, like I hate it, you know? But luckily, what if I told you the best perfect t-shirt does exist? And guess where you can find it? Don't be shocked, but duh, Skims, okay? From crop silhouettes to long sleeves, layering tees, there is a style for everyone, okay, you guys? I'm obviously been a customer with Skims forever. I'm obsessed with them. I love them. You guys know that I've been wearing Skims since they pretty much launched, and I'm so excited to be partnering up with them. You know how much this means to me. And recently, I tried on one of their t-shirts, and you guys, I swear to God, is one of the best fitting tees I've ever worn in my life. Skims honestly makes the best basics and foundations to underwear, to bras, and now to t-shirts as well. Like my current cotton jersey t-shirt, that's the first one that I bought first. And the color, well, I bought it in three different colors, but it's like a wardrobe staple for me. I'm wearing one right now. I basically reach for it almost every day, like in the house, outside, like everywhere. It's just like the fit is so perfect. It snatches me right at the waist. And I feel like it really shows off my best asset, which is my breasts, okay? I washed it like a million times at this point and it holds its shape. It doesn't stretch out. It doesn't shrink. The color doesn't change. It literally fits like a dream. I cannot stop wearing this t-shirt, okay? So shop Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, not available in sizes, extra, extra small, all the way up to 4X. I buy it extra small. So if you haven't yet, be sure to also let them know that I sent you. Please, for the love of God, if you can do me one favor, please do this for me, okay? So it's basically after you place your order, you will then get a survey will pop up and you will select podcast. In that survey, it's like all the way at the bottom and you will then select my show, Almost Adulting, and the drop-down menu that follows so they know that I sent you with whatever you buy at Skims so then they can work with me for the rest of my life and I will forever be thankful. I swear I'll go down on you. Thank you so much. Bye, Skims. So now that you know that there's a future you that's more successful out there right now in a different timeline, living their best life, making decisions for you in your present to change your life in any minute, why don't we dive into that one thing that's based on research that most successful people have in common that helps them succeed? And no, you guys, it's not money. If it was money, then half of you would give up right now. You don't need money for this. Although obviously money does help get you through the door, but this has nothing to do with it. This is something that you can have as well because it costs $0. Research shows that over 90% of successful people possess something called grit. What is grit? Well, grit is a mix of passion and perseverance. It holds a profound influence over one's trajectory towards success in life. So this dynamic duo of what feels like two fairly simple things serves as the cornerstone for not just achieving your goals, but surpassing them. And again, this is based on research. Grit is basically passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. Grit is about having stamina. Grit is sticking with your future day in, day out, not just for the week, not just for the month, but for years. And grit is about working really hard to make the future a reality. Grit is living life like it's a marathon, not a sprint. So these two things, right? There's passion, there's perseverance. So passion fuels our inner fire. It ignites this relentless pursuit So in order to succeed in life, whatever you're currently doing or in relationships, whatever it is, you must have passion. Based on research, it will fuel you further. That's why a lot of times you're currently working in a job that you're not happy with, or you feel not successful in life, but then you also notice you're not really passionate about anything right now. That would explain it. It's really hard to move forward when you can't find a reason to want to move forward, right? So passion fuels in a fire, ignites relentless pursuit of our interests and dreams, while perseverance is the steadfast companion that keeps us marching forward even when we're faced with obstacles or setbacks. So together, they are forming a very powerful synergy that enhances our resilience, fosters a growth mindset, and propels us towards excellence. So the power of succeeding in life, therefore, is not just a testament to what we achieve, but it's a reflection of the commitment that we have to chase what truly matters to us by not giving up at the first sign of something not working out, right? Instead, you pivot. That's the whole point. We chase what truly matters to us. So in this light, the blend of passion and perseverance is not just beneficial, but essential to navigate the complexities of life and realizing our fullest potential. So in simpler terms, this means that talent has nothing to do with grit, okay? You don't need talent to succeed in life or to succeed in whatever it is you're chasing after. The same way, you know, money can help, but you don't fully need money to succeed. It has everything to do with how bad do you want it. With passion, perseverance, that is the secret sauce to crushing it in life. So imagine passion as your best friend who's always hyping you up. They're always whispering like, you got this, when you're on the brink of just, you know, giving up. Perseverance is the one that's holding your hair back while you are metaphorically puking from all the setbacks, saying, girl, we are not giving up now. You're going to take another shot, okay? This power couple is what turns I wish into I did. It's not just about hitting those life milestones. It's about embracing the face plans and getting back up with your mascara still intact, mostly, okay? Succeeding, that's just the cherry on top of this wild ride that we call chasing what sets your soul on fire. In the grand scheme of things, in the grand of your messy script of life, passion, perseverance are basically your lead actors. They make sure that you're not just living, but you're thriving. Now, this mindset obviously is easier said than done. It's not that easy. It's a mindset that you have to work to get there. You may start and then you give up, right? It's not just about changing your perspective by saying a sentence of some affirmations. You have to actually, you know, do something about it. Because there's a whole science behind it. Basically, there's a study of the mindset by Stanford University, Carol Dweck. And she did this whole study about how there's two types of mindsets. The study of growth mindset by Carol in Stanford is a belief that the ability to learn is not fixed, but it can change with effort. That means that another way you can succeed in life, not only do you not need talent, not only do you not need money, but you also don't have to be the smartest in the room. Because based on the Stanford research, it will show you that your mindset can grow over time. You don't have to be born with your mindset. You don't have to be born with the smartest brain. It can grow over time. So this ability to learn is not fixed and can change with effort. It focuses on this understanding that beliefs that individuals hold about their own intelligence and their abilities and how these beliefs will then influence their behaviors, motivation, and ultimately their success. It shows that when kids read and learn about the brain and how it changes, how it grows in response to challenges, they are much more likely to persevere when they fail. Because those kids then don't believe that failure is a permanent condition. So in this lady's research, she introduces a concept of fixed mindset and growth mindset. A fixed mindset refers to the belief that abilities and intelligence are static traits that cannot be changed, while a growth mindset is the belief that the abilities and intelligence can be developed through effort, through learning, and through perseverance. Her research has shown that individuals with a growth mindset are more likely to embrace challenges, persist in the face of setbacks and see failure as an opportunity for growth. They're also more likely to seek out feedback, to learn from criticism instead of get defensive. On the other hand, individuals with a fixed mindset tend to avoid challenges because they're scared to fail. They're scared of being embarrassed. They give up easily in the face of obstacles. They see failure as a reflection of who they are as a whole, as a reflection of their innate abilities, as a reflection of their ego. So the study of growth mindset has profound implications for education, parenting, business, and personal development, as it basically highlights the importance of fostering a growth mindset to promote resilience, learning, and success. So why is a growth mindset so powerful? There's 5 reasons for it, okay? The first one is it makes you more resilient. The second one is it fosters a love for learning and skill development, and it will become easier over time the more you practice it. Number three, it increases effort and persistence. Number 4, it promotes adaptability, flexibility that you otherwise would not have. And Number 5, it shows that this type of mindset is more common among successful people, among 90% to 95% of successful people. Obviously, the other 5% come for money. And to kind of make this into a perfect salad, I wanted to give you some psychological facts to encourage you. So here are a few psychological facts. Research has found that your willpower can quickly become depleted when you are doing difficult tasks. So if you are only relying on your willpower on things that you're not passionate about, that feel really hard, it's actually a mistake because it will only get you so far. But when you find a reason to feel motivated, it helps you. You can then recharge that motivational energy and it pushes you further. Then secondly, research shows that the threat of punishment, so we do this with children, we do this with ourselves, that the threat of punishment will force you into action to try harder, to work harder, whatever, the first time. Also, this is a good example for employees. The first time, but this only works for a short period of time. Research found that reward is actually a way more effective strategy than punishment. Tell that to my dad when it comes to boosting motivation. Research also suggests that people who are primarily motivated by financial concerns, meaning they always feel stressed about money, actually makes them tend to suffer worse from mental health and puts them in a setback, unlike other people. So you figure that out. Also, research shows that people often believe that being intelligent is a way to garnishing success. But actually, research have found that intelligence is not necessarily a pre-detector of success. In this famous study that they've done of gifted kids by Lewis Terman, he found that the most intelligent individuals actually tend to lead very average lives if they don't try hard. Imagine this, you are on a roller coaster that's called life, and you've now got 2 mindset options. You got the fix and you got the growth. Now, the fixed mindset is like being strapped onto this roller coaster, believing that you are stuck with these loops and drops that it throws at you forever. You think that your abilities and your intelligence are set in stone. So when challenges come your way, you are not really excited about it because you're going to just assume you're going to fail, right? Mistakes, it feels like dreaded detours, leading you further away from your destination to success, making you feel like it will never happen for you. But then there's the growth mindset. That's like where it feels like you've got a VIP pass now to this roller coaster and you're ready for anything that comes your way. So even though you're going to have loops, you know eventually these loops are going to end. You know eventually you're going to be park. You know eventually you're going to be fine, and then you're going to end up also really enjoying the ride afterwards. You're going to realize how important it was for you to do these loops to experience the happiness that you felt at the end, right? You're like, bring them on. I don't care about challenges. They're like these twists and turns like the roller coaster. And there are opportunities to learn and to grow. Like you went on the roller coaster, you did these loops and you're like, you know what? I'm actually not really into roller coasters. Or you went on the roller coaster with your partner and they shit their pants and you're like, you know what? Now I have the ick. I don't want to date this person anymore. But you wouldn't have realized that they're not for you unless you got on this roller coaster, right? So it's just pit stops on your journey and chances to tweak your strategy to keep moving forward. So with a growth mindset, you're not just riding the roller coaster, you're mastering it. You are flipping those challenges into triumph. You're turning setbacks into stepping stones, and you are enjoying every twist and turn now because you know it's going to end well. It's like having the power to transform your life's wildest ride into your own personal adventure. And who wouldn't want a ticket to that? So then how do you get there from a fixed mindset into a growth mindset? Well, you guys, basically, this is like hitting the mental gym. You gotta work those mindset muscles. First of all, let's flex that self-awareness muscle. Recognize when you are feeling stuck in that fixed mindset funk. Are you avoiding challenges right now? Are you getting discouraged by setbacks? Are you blaming other people right now for your failures? Once you spot those fixed mindsets, or you're able to catch yourself when you are experiencing those tendencies, it's time to call them out and show them the door. Next up is basically we are going to be pumping iron into that perseverance attitude by embracing challenges, understanding that's just like your personal trainers. It's building you up for something. It's pushing you to grow stronger, smarter. Don't let setbacks knock you off your course. You use them as fuel to keep pushing forward. Okay, now I know that this and this and this doesn't work for me. Let's try something new. If you're going to give up immediately, then of course you're not going to be successful because it's not for you. Sorry. And then don't forget, the most important one is now you need to stretch that learning muscle. So you embrace the power of yet, as in, I just haven't mastered this yet. Instead of seeing failure as the end of the road, like I've even said in the self-sabotaging episode last week, or I said it somewhere else, I don't recall, but it's basically when people think when you hit rock bottom, great, then you're finally standing on something. So you can only go up from here. Instead of seeing failure as the end of the road, see it as a stepping stone on your journey to greatness. You got to keep learning. You got to keep growing. You got to keep watching that growth mindset flourish like never before. So basically, when it comes to the psychology of things, there you have it. This has been basically the roadmap to shifting from fixed mindset to growth mindset. It's not always easy, and you're going to have bad days, and that's okay. But with a little mindset muscle workout, because you have to be consistent with it, you will be cruising through these life challenges like a boss. Now, lastly, this is for the spiritual people. What is the law of attraction? So let's start with the basics. The law of attraction is like an Instagram algorithm, right? It's mysterious, often misunderstood, but it's incredibly powerful. It's the belief that positive or negative thoughts bring positive or negative experiences into our lives. So if you're constantly thinking about how you're going to trip and fall during your presentation, then chances are you will end up falling on your face. You plant right in front of everyone. Classic, right? And if you want to give this law of attraction thing a go, you have to start small to kind of practice it, right? Your muscles. You visualize, let's say, finding a great parking spot when you're in the mall and you're looking for a parking spot. You're like, no, I'm finding it. It's happening. You visualize it already happening. Or maybe it's about attracting a day where you're not spilling coffee all over yourself or embarrassing yourself, whatever it is. That's how you start small. So you just don't sit around waiting for success to knock on your door. Instead, you have to put into work like, no, of course, this is happening for me. This will happen for me. This is happening for me. So the most famous tip when it comes to getting motivated is to simply visualize your success in present time. Research found that if you imagine yourself instantly successful, if you imagine yourself already being successful, it will zap you into motivation to go out there and achieve your goals. So the best strategy here is to visualize yourself completing the steps of whatever it is to reach your goals. So you're either visualizing yourself already with $100,000 in your bank account. You're visualizing yourself already bought that house you've been looking for in that new job. You're visualizing yourself taking those steps to getting there. It's kind of like when I've talked about the law of attraction to attract a partner in the past, or maybe I'll do another future episode that's more soon. It's when you want someone to call you. So you visualize yourself coming to them when they're sleeping and whispering in their ear to call you, and then you visualize how they wake up. You visualize them like dialing the phone to call you, or dialing or writing the text message you told yourself they're going to send to you. Like, you literally do it that way. So again, here are some of my top tips to attract success. You visualize your goals, right? Vision board, I even made one. But you have to be more specific. You have to be very specific, which is something I need to change. You then, second step, you speak as if it's already happening. So instead of saying, I will have 1 million downloads a week on my podcast, you say, I'm a successful podcaster and I cannot believe it, but I already have 1 million downloads a week per episode. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Right now I'm saying it, I don't believe it, so I also need to work on it. And you have to then, number three, act the part. So it basically means dress for the job you want, not the job you have, and so on. So really take it out there like that, okay? So what if, let's close this episode with me proposing a challenge. For the next week, let's all try to manifest something totally outlandish, totally something that you're like, I'm talking wild, okay? I'm talking something that you just assume wouldn't happen to you. Try to imagine nonstop like it's happening to you, like it's already in the present. I'm going to be attempting that same thing. I'll think about it today and we'll figure it out. So I'm talking aim high. And then why don't we share our progress and make it a thing? Like, we can create a hashtag Violet's Vibes or hashtag Success Vibes. Maybe hashtag Violet's Vibes, or just DM me and send it to me. Doesn't matter. Okay. So conclusion, call to action, let's go. You got this. I hope this helps. So beautiful people, remember that the universe is your oyster and you are equipped with the world's best pearls, diving gear, which is your mind and your attitude. So dive deep, manifest your dreams, and then don't forget to laugh at the moments where things don't work out. Like, it's not a big deal. So if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and download this episode and share this episode with your friends who are currently feeling like giving up. Also, listen to last week's episode. I recommend it. It's all about self-sabotage. And until next time, keep manifesting, keep working hard towards achieving your dreams. Quick reminder, when it comes to spirituality of things, you won't be able to really get the things you want if you're not currently thankful for the things you already have. So that is a thing that's really important that I forgot to mention. Remember sometimes to just sit back and be like, you know what? I'm thankful for the things I currently have. I'm thankful for the lessons I currently learned. I'm thankful that now I know that this doesn't work for me. This partner is not for me. I'm thankful for everything that I needed to do to take me, to get me this far. Because when you are thankful for your current life, the universe rewards you by finally giving you the things that you've always wished for. But again, based on my psychology and science, you can't just sit there and manifest and say encouraging words and then be like, wait, it's not happening. You have to actually get off your ass and do things. So definitely use those tips that I've given you, okay? Anyway, keep being your fabulous self, besties. I love you so much. Do me a favor, again, download this episode and leave me a 5-star review if you can about how much you enjoyed today's episode. Love you. Bye.